Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
And thank you, Laura, for being our liturgist. And thank you, Mark. If you all look at your bulletin, you notice all of the songs and the hymns are all poems. So it's so fun when things tie together in that way. So thank you. A couple of days ago, a new friend told me why she loves Lent. People love to tell ministers this sort of thing. And it was her insight, actually, that inspired my sermon for us this morning. I love the season of Lent, she said, because it is the time of year when I reset and I learn to pay attention again. Lent is reclaiming the power of the detail. Today, I'd like to share a word on us reclaiming poetry in our busy lives as just one way to learn to pay attention to meaning, to detail, to ourselves, others, and God. It is time for us to reclaim poetry, the detail and the language, as Christians, both for ourselves, but also, I think, for our world, which is desperate for new language and vocabularies of love. Let us pray together. May the words of my mouth, O God of all creation, and the intimate thoughts of each of our hearts help us to renew our ability to truly pay attention to our world. You are our reminder of the details we treasure, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. The Psalms have a way of speaking to us in ways that no other scripture can. This is because, unlike the narrative or the legalistic parts of the Bible, the Psalms have a way of being kind of like chameleons, changing color, metamorphosizing, and somehow meeting us wherever we are in life. As we grow older, and I now know this at 30 years old, the Psalms can grow with us. New details emerge, and new hearing develops. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call your name. Can you imagine how beautiful this poem must be in the original Hebrew, where it actually retains the refrain and the repetitions and the alliteration of the original Hebrew poetry? Last week, Hal also preached on a psalm, and he encouraged us to go deeper and to pray the Psalms for Lent. I love that idea, so for that reason, I chose to preach on a psalm this week as well and to help us go even deeper with it. I, like Hal, believe that psalms can become part of us. They are able to become part of our own prayers in unexpected ways. When we don't know how to pray or don't know how to go deeper, a psalm is usually in order. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Today I want to go a little bit deeper by focusing on the poetry of the Psalms and how they can help us rediscover the need for details in our lives. The Psalms reawaken us in our attention to detail. To claim the Psalms as our own is to reclaim the power of language from the powers now choosing to wield words as weapons. We shall not accept this abuse of the power of language. By looking for the poetry in the Psalms and in our world, we may reclaim poetry and the power of words for good in our lives. If there were ever a time for poetry, friends, it is probably today. A world that doesn't appreciate poetry is a world at risk of losing its very sense of the meaning of existence. A world without the poets and the psalmists is a world without love, or dreams, or visions, or hope. Humans need poetry as the food for our souls. And so I like to think of the Book of Psalms as tapas. Little meals to feed your souls. Academics tell us that the Psalms, or the Psalter as it's often called, is a collection of prayers or songs composed throughout the whole arc of Israel's history. It's not just a point in time. Its title, Psalms in Greek, is derived from the word meaning song. The Hebrew title of the book, Tehillim, means more specifically hymns or communal songs of praise. The poetic character of the Psalms is manifest in the balance and the symmetry of each and every line. The Psalms are the part of the Bible that call us to look at our own existence and the details that matter in our lives. So in seminary, I was your classic fish out of water. I came right from an undergraduate degree in French literature, much more comfortable analyzing Rimbaud and Baudelaire than Paul. In divinity school, I found myself surrounded by religious studies majors. They knew all the facts, right? They could recite the books of the Bible backwards and forwards without error, and they seemed to find it entertaining to recite quotes from dead theologians to each other. It wasn't until I discovered the Psalms that I found my place in seminary and subsequently in ministry. Here is a part of the Bible where literary analysis, poetry, a love for language and words matters more or as much than facts about dead white theologians and historic hypothesis theories. A psalmist Christian is how I identify. A Christian who's most interested in the details of how Christian makes us connect with God. It isn't about the facts of faith, but the feelings of connection to God and faith. With the Psalms, we are free to dream, wonder, and feel, even as mainline Protestants. The Psalms help us pay attention to the Spirit at work and at play. With the Psalms, we become psalmist Christians. Friends, I have a hypothesis of my own that we are currently probably mostly drowning in facts, both accurate and deceptive. We are floundering in a sea of useless language. Wikipedia, news alerts on our smartphones, press secretary pronouncements, publicity, advertisements, from dawn to dusk, we are inundated with factoids. The overabundance of trivia has made finding meaning, meaningful words, difficult. It has made the Lenten art of really paying attention to details all but impossible. There are more and more words in our lives, yet somehow there is less and less meaning that gets to your heart. Oh God, you are my God, I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water, there is no meaning, there is no purpose, there is no substance. Like our psalmist today, we are thirsty for meaning beyond what we can memorize or Google search. We are thirsty for lives grounded in purpose. Our purpose as humans must be greater than the news we aggregate or the revenue we generate. At least that's my hope. That is what the Psalms offer us for such a time as this. The Psalms offer us poetry and a chance to reclaim purpose and to see the beauty in the small details. So Rosemarie Berger is a poet, a writer, and a staffer for Sojourners magazine. And she's a Christian who writes what she calls holy poetry. And she was recently asked in an interview, as a Catholic, do you see poetry as a spiritual practice? And really what I'm about to read her quote, I could have just stood up and read and then sat back down as the sermon, because it's really the point of what I want to get across this morning. She replied by saying, because of my Catholicness, I see the world liturgically and sacramentally. The world is a holy place. Time moves in liturgical seasons. Poetry is an ancient form of speech for speaking about God and beauty and witnessing and praising, for calling to account, for reanimating mystery. So yes, while not all poets write from a spiritual lens and not all poetry, even my own, needs to reflect spirituality, I do see poetry as part of my spiritual practice. Prose writing can convey lots of things: emotions, information, historical continuity. It can prompt intellectual insights and shifts. But long before prose was invented, birds sang poetry to small human communities, and those communities learned to sing it back, the Psalms. Poetry is what makes us human animals in the creation. It's the language God uses to speak worlds into existence and out of existence. Poetry is elemental, like fire, earth, water, and air. I love Lent, she said, because it is the time of year when I learn to pay attention again. Poetry and the Psalms, then, are essential to Lent. They help us to reclaim the mystery and the detail as the basic element of life: earth, fire, water, air, poetry. What the Psalms or poems might speak to you in this season is unknown. I would invite you to pick a favorite poem, Mary Oliver, whomever you choose, and to read it daily for the rest of this season. Maybe a psalm, maybe today's psalm. And to see what deep meaning and language it brings up for you beyond the artificial divide between fact and fiction. What details emerge you need to hear. This Lent, I invite you to pay attention with me again to words, their meaning, as a method to saving our souls from the cold and unforgiving facts of life we are dying to every day. Only poetry can save us now. We need the Psalms in Christianity in 2019, and we will certainly need poetry in 2020 with an election year ahead. We need to get back to the basic work of reanimating mystery as the church and discovering purpose in the details. Words matter and have the power to destroy or heal. Tweets are not William Carlos Williams' poems any more than every speech made from a wooden box 3 feet in the air is a sermon. Poetry, like preaching, requires sacred intention. Those of you who have been at Plymouth for at least 4.5 years had the joy of hearing my predecessor preach. The Reverend Sharon Benton didn't write sermons. She wrote poems. If you ever looked at one of her sermons, they were poetry. Every single one of Sharon's sermons for her over 10 years at Plymouth was a poem written for you. While some of my colleagues find it odd, to say the least, that I'm serving my home church, I find a great beauty in the fact that I too was ministered and formed by the one who had my job before me. Many days, I too really miss Sharon. Her poetry and her poetic attention to detail. This Lent, then, the poem I am reading every day is one of Sharon's published Psalms. I'm going to close by reading that poem, and I hope that in Lent and in the seasons beyond Lent, we may all rediscover the details in our own lives, especially the great meaning and purpose that comes from poetry. Thanksgiving, by the Reverend Sharon Benton. Some gratitude comes hard, O Spirit. Hard as a brick thrown through a stained glass, Jesus feeding his flock. Hard as teeth grinding their own enamel night after anxious night. Hard as fighting through Black Friday shopping crowds. Sometimes gratitude comes hard, O Spirit, where there is loss of relationship, loss of abilities, loss of life, loss of hope. But when a wet nose nuzzles us awake in the morning, or a stranger captures our wind-stolen scarf, or a single star stretched out in so much space reminds us, we are not alone in this life. We are one with each creature and with each other, and with each part of your creation. Spirit, our individual griefs are not small, nor are the world's pains. But grant us gratitude amidst them so that we may also overcome addiction, depression, disease or accident, poverty and war, and all that depletes life rather than sustains it. Even when gratitude is hard, O Spirit, soften us to see your love poured out upon all the universe, and help us give thanks. Amen.